bagging billions of plastic bags. This is the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham. There are a lot of plastic bags going out of the stores, about 80 billion a year in the U.S. alone. Some states are getting tough about plastic bags. Julie Grant's here, and Julie, it looks like another big state is saying if a store is going to use plastic bags, it has to recycle them.
Yeah, that's right. New York has just joined California as only the second state to force stores to collect and recycle plastic bags. New York leaders say they're tired of seeing plastic bags littering the streets and parks, finding them in streams and in landfills where they can take 1,000 years to decompose. So under the new state law, large stores and retail or grocery store chains are going to have to provide bins for a collection of used carry-out bags. The stores are going to have to recycle the return bags and keep records for 3 years.
I imagine the stores are thrilled. I wonder what the plastic bag makers are saying.
Well, the bag makers are actually glad states are starting to mandate recycling. They say it's going to reduce the glut of bags out there and provide plastic for things such as weather-resistant lumber products.
So my plastic bag might end up as someone's outdoor deck.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Lester.
This is the Environment Report. The state of Florida is working on a plan to restore the Everglades. It wants to buy huge sugarcane fields between Lake Okeechobee and the Everglades. Ann Dornfeld went out on the lake to find out what's at stake.
The first thing to know about Lake Okeechobee is that it's not your stereotypical clear blue lake. It's shallow, murky, covered with tall grasses, and thick with everything from birds and rabbits to frogs and alligators. It's known as the liquid heart of the Everglades, and Paul Gray is here to take its pulse. He's the science coordinator for the Audubon Society's Lake Okeechobee Watershed Program. It's his first time out on the lake since the last big storm, and he's eager to see how it's doing. The best way to get to the middle of a marshy lake is an airboat. As the boat zips across the grassy lake on a cushion of air, brightly colored bugs and tiny green frogs land inside. Once we skid to a halt, Paul Gray scans the water and throws up his hands, disappointed.
This is very, very sparse. There's maybe one little stem sticking up every 4 or 5 feet.
All this vegetation drowned in the last big storm. Stormwater is diverted into the lake from development and farmland like the U.S. Sugar Corporation fields. That floods the lake.
If everything was working right now, this would be almost all vegetated. It'd be full of birds and stuff, and right now I'm not sure what'll happen to it.
Gray says the lake is constantly recovering, either from flooding or from drought. Last summer, the state of Florida announced a tentative deal with U.S. Sugar to buy the company out. U.S. Sugar's land blocks the flowway between the lake and the Everglades. The state proposes returning some of the land to its natural marshy state and using other parts for stormwater reservoirs. Gray says the U.S. Sugar deal would be a huge boon to the lake and the Everglades. It could even improve the bird life in northern states and Canada that fly south for winter. We arrive at a shallower part of the lake, and Gray pumps his fist in victory.
Well, this is much better news. We're sitting in a big patch of green plants with little white and pink flowers, and it goes on for several hundred yards. So when all of the wintering waterfowl get down here, they're going to have a ball with this.
It's a small success. But Gray says until the flow of water into Lake Okeechobee is returned to normal, the liquid heart of the Everglades will be struggling to beat.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham.
Support comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts with us at environmentreport.org.